Oregon State falls to Oregon in the Civil War, 41-7. What does that mean for Trent Bray? I give you my main takeaways right here on the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. Yes, welcome on in. I'm Christian Rao. Let's get right into it here on the Pac-12 Daily Podcast reaction show to Oregon State falling to Oregon 41-7. And really overall, Dan Lanning, Will Stein, Dante Moore could do anything they wanted to this Oregon State defense, especially after the first couple of drives of this game. They had their way with the Beavers for the majority of this game to move to 4-0 on the season and Oregon State moving to 0-4. There was a chance heading into this one that the Ducks would have actually been looking past this game because of that big game happening next week. It's going to be on College Game Day with Penn State. As of right now, it's number 2 versus number 6 in the country. Who knows if that actually changes and makes it even more, but that wasn't the case. Oregon was great in this one. The 34.5-point spread just failed. So if you're a degenerate and you wanted to actually get in on that action, you might not have won that one. So either way, I want to dig into it. I want to give you my three main takeaways. I want to dive into my three top performers. This was actually really tough to do, but I want to make sure I still give props for that. Won't really be a stat thing, but just things I found in the game. And of course, I want to end this show on what does it mean for Trent Bray? Because we've been talking about him being on the hot seat for a couple weeks now. And of course, that doesn't change when you move to 0-4, especially what's next on the schedule. So first of all, the offense just wasn't non-existent. It was non-existent for Oregon State in this one. It was tough. And really, I should say it was non-existent after the second drive, because the first drive, 3 and out, it was exactly what you have been seeing all season long with this Oregon State team, with the exception of no penalties on that first drive. So shout out there. But in the second drive, you actually got a little bit of life from Oregon State. This is the only time they scored a touchdown. Better than last week against Texas Tech, where they had to wait for garbage time to do that. At least you got to do it in the second drive of the game. And it was all because of Anthony Hankerson. I'm going to give him the props, really, for moving the football on that drive. Had a nice 17-yard rush to continue to move the sticks, and then wound up finding the end zone after 3 tries at the goal line stand, but still got himself in there for the only touchdown of the game for Oregon State. I mean, overall, it was a rough go for Anthony Hankerson. He had 14 carries for only 38 yards, just averaged under 3 yards per carry, 2.7 yards to be exact. And if it wasn't for that 17-yard rush that I mentioned, he really would have had an even worse day. So it was a really bad overall day on the ground for Oregon State. Only 67 yards total rushing, 2.6 yards per carry on 26 carries for the Beavers against the Oregon Ducks. And hey, look, we should have expected that. Oregon's front is nasty. They are very good. But when you're trying to get a run game moving, you want to at least see some signs of life. With the exception of that second drive, there was no signs of life on this entire offense. Malik Murphy, the worst game he has had as a starter in his collegiate career, period. Not just with Oregon State, not just with Texas, not just with Duke. His entire collegiate career, 2023, 24, and this year in 2025. 5 for 18, 68 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. And it was just, there was a couple times where he was overthrowing receivers. There was multiple times where he underthrew the receivers. There was a couple to Taz Reddick. There was one on a screenplay to Anthony Hankerson towards the end of the game where he would have went for some big yardage. I'm not saying it would have changed the game on that moment, but at least would have showed some life for this offense. And there was just a lot of mishaps and a lot of wrong plays and bad performance there, I say, for Malik Murphy. Now, he had 1 carry for 1 yard rushing, and that was probably one of his most important yards of the entire game. It was an option play to Anthony Hankerson, and instead of pitching it out, he decided to keep it on a 3rd and 1, and he got hit at the line of scrimmage, but he got that 1 yard and he got the first down. It was a game of inches in that moment. That was the only kind of momentum we saw from Malik Murphy. Other than that, it was an abysmal game. This offense did not give Trent Bray any help whatsoever for whatever's going to happen with his future. It was rough. It was really rough, folks. On the flip side, the defense, I think they were strong early, you know, with the exception of that first drive. The first drive, I think Oregon made a statement right away. They had in play one, they had a statement. They had a big run from Jaden Lemar, who had 70 yards on the ground. I think that first run of the game went for like 20 to 22 yards. It was very impressive just to start off the game for Oregon. And they just had their way on the first drive. Dante Moore was finding some open seams, finding some great passes. They struggled so much. The secondary in the entire game struggled with stopping Dante Moore in his backside fades, his sideline throws on the back shoulders of his wide receivers. And I don't even know if I want to give bad credit towards the secondary, like saying it was bad coverage. It might have just been, and I know this isn't, we're talking Oregon State here being a Pac-12 show, but it might have just been Dante Moore throwing beautiful passes. It was a very good outing by Dante Moore. Would not be shocked if we see him in New York at the end of the season as a Heisman finalist if he continues this up, because he played outstanding. Overall, Oregon State's defense allowed Dante Moore to go 21 for 31, 305, and four touchdowns. He also picked up 53 yards on the ground. They had 280 yards rushing. That was huge. I mean, Oregon's rushing unit is absolutely dynamic. Their depth is insane. When you're talking Malachi Hughes, a guy who rushed for 1,400 yards last season for Tulane, being your third or fourth running back, that should tell you a lot. There was a lot of impressive stuff from Oregon against the Beavers in this one. And I mentioned the secondary struggling with those backside sideline plays, those wide receiver plays. It was insane. DeCorian Moore and Malik Benson were the two that just really had their day with Oregon State's secondary. So, you know, eventually they got outmatched. Eventually Dan Lanning and Will Stein and Dante Moore had their way with Oregon State. But there were signs of life in this first half, especially towards the beginning of the game. After the first opening drive touchdown, Oregon State got a turnover on downs. And then right after their next offensive drive, they forced Oregon to punt. So it's not like they did what Oklahoma State did and just couldn't stop them, period. There was signs, and that's maybe a little bit of a momentum push, especially towards a defensive mind like Trent Bray. Third final key takeaway in this one here, there was no bonehead mistakes. And I think that alone can be something to hang your hat on this, although we're not in for moral victories. We don't do moral victories on this podcast. But what I'm looking for here is, look, even though you lost 41-7, you're trying to find an identity with this squad. And when you go back and look at that Fresno State game, which you should have won if it wasn't for you losing it for yourself, shooting yourself in the foot multiple times, you didn't do that in this game. So hopefully moving on to next week's football matchup, you can continue that. And hopefully the level of competitiveness is maybe a little lower. We'll talk about that in just a second. But you didn't have any bonehead plays. You had two penalties. And that was it. It was a legal man downfield and one false start. And what's crazy is both of those penalties happened on that second drive where they scored a touchdown. So no penalties actually interrupted them from doing anything, which was really incredible. They did have one fumble towards the end of the game. I don't really count that as a bonehead mistake, although you can't have those turnovers, but that one didn't change this outcome at all. One thing I will continue to add and still monitor, of course, though, is the special teams. The long snapping still looked a little shaky. There was a couple punts that did get off. There was no blocked, but the punter got roughed up, not to a penalty standpoint, but because they're so close, they're snapping it very close. They're not stepping back like normal punting is. It's still shaky. And some of those snaps weren't perfect by any means. So that still needs to get fixed. So that's where I'm throwing it there. So here's my top performers. And again, this is a tough thing to go at, but I'm still going to do it. And it's not going to be because of the box score in this week. We might have that sometimes when we're doing top performers. We might go based on how many yards somebody did or how many touchdowns somebody got. But you can't do that this week because the offense was dreadful. There was no turnovers or interceptions. I got two defensive guys, although they gave up 41 points, and I got an offensive weapon as well. I'm going with my top performers in this one. First off, I'm going to go with Tekari Hickle, because he had the first sack and the only sack for Oregon State in this game, but it was the first sack of the year against Dante Moore and the Oregon Ducks. Four games in, no one else has been able to do it, and Hickle got it done. So that's a top performer for me. Zakiya Saez had a deflection on a screenplay that overall forced Oregon State to get a fourth down play that was no good, and they had a turnover on downs. So a shout out to that. He really had a good play recognition on that one. This is how deep we're going in this top performers, but this is what I seen. They deserve their flowers. And for the offensive side, it's tough because Hankerson wasn't good. Murphy wasn't great. I'm going to go with Taz Reddicks. the wide receiver. I think Taz Reddick's had a great game. He should have had a touchdown. He fell into just the 1 yard line on a wide open play. I think he only had 2 receptions for 27 yards, but there was multiple other plays where he was wide open. He found openings in the tough and very good star-studded Oregon secondary on multiple occasions. Malik Murphy just couldn't get him the ball. Multiple times that Malik Murphy gave him some targets and fell short. And I'm not going to discredit Reddick for his performance on that one. So those are my top three performers, Hickles, Sayas, and Reddick's for Oregon State in this one. So what does this all mean for Trent Bray? Because now he's 5-11 in his collegiate career as a head coach at Oregon State and 0-4 on the season. Well, you heard what I said this earlier this week. If you listen to the Pac-12 Daily Podcast, if not, you can go back and check it out. But I'm going to reiterate it again. I think you got to make the move, and you got to get rid of Trent Bray. You got to pull the cord. You got to say it's time to move on. With the fact that there's already multiple coaches on our vacancies, coaching vacancies, UCLA being one on the West Coast, Virginia Tech being another. There's a couple that are really hot. And big name schools that are going to be really hot. Wisconsin, possibly Clemson, Oklahoma State. There's a lot of other names that are going to be starting to pop up in there. When you think of those other schools that are surrounding, do you like your chances where this academic program sits of Oregon State? Do you like your chances finding the coach you want against those other schools if they become vacant before you do? I don't. So I think you got to make that move right away. You got to make that move now. Whether that means this season is a bust and you have to punt on it, so be it. And I know that's a really weird pun to say because the special teams has been terrible, and I said punt on the season. They play Houston next week. Houston's 3-0. They haven't lost a single game yet this season. Houston looks really good. Connor Wegman is the quarterback for Houston. Interesting matchup that one's going to be. It's in Corvallis, so maybe you can hopefully steal one from a Big 12 foe in Houston. But we'll see. That's the next one, and it's not a short week. That will be on a Friday night. But that being said, though, the Civil War, the streak will come to an end. This is a game that's played every year since 1945, folks. And next year in 2026, when the new Pac-12 starts, how exciting that is. But one thing will be bittersweet, and that'll be Oregon State not playing the Civil War against Oregon in 2026. Now, have no fear. It will be coming back in 2027. They've agreed to play for the next 5 years after that through 2032. But the streak that began in 1945 will officially come to an end next season. Let me know what your thoughts of this game is. Oregon State losing to Oregon 41-7. Are you surprised of the score? I mean, FanDuel had this one at 34.5, and they wind up losing by 34, so they were pretty close on that one. Let me know what you think about the Trent Bray situation. Do you think it's time for him to move on? I've heard some comments of saying maybe you should just hold on to him. It can't get any worse, right? Let me know and give me your explanation. I'd like to hear that as well. And then your initial thoughts on Houston as the game of Oregon State and Houston will come this Friday. We're going to have you all covered here on the Pac-12 Daily. You can check that out on YouTube or anywhere you listen in audio right here. We'll see you back here next time.